and then start the intro.
Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond.
Good evening and good morning if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. Well, depending on which hemisphere you're in, you should be looking up. If it's dark, do look up in the sky. There is a fantastic meteor shower that's going on. I really hope it's not going to get scary, because it's what we're doing is as a planet. Okay, so all right, so you know, everybody knows that we're traveling through around the orbit of the solar system. Well, it's never as simple as that, because the sun itself is orbiting another sun, and that sun is called Alcyone, and that in itself is also orbiting something else, and so everything's moving through space. And As we're all aware, we're going through the cycle of passing through the north and south hemisphere of the galaxy that we're in. So as we're spinning around, we're going around in these cycles, and we go up and down and across the middle of the galaxy, because the galaxy is really like two magnetic halves of a whole, and the kind of physical matter of the galaxy exists in the neutral space. Rather than in the north or south polarized space, we exist in the neutral space, and it's a very, very flat area, very, very thin, galactically sized thin area that we find ourselves in. And so we're looking at a very thin plane. Now, when I say thin galactically, that means it's massive to us, and it would take hundreds of quite a few lifetimes to move across this space, and apparently it's 1,000 years thick as far as our travel is concerned. And that's what they call the photon belt, which is the neutral zone in the middle of the galactic plane. So everything that is neutrally charged or has a balance in their charge, rather than positive or negative, it will sit in this little zone. And that's what we call the galaxy. That's where all the things exist, and everything is kind of coiling around and moving through space. So there is an area that we're moving into, that as the galaxy travels through space, we travel through, and we're coming up into what's known as a dirty area of space, or fluff, they're calling it. Essentially, this is the leading edge of the thing that we have been calling the ribbon, or the wave, or the filament. So this is something that we need to be aware of, and it's part of the reason that we're all kind of going along this path of ascension and all of this stuff. So tonight I wanted to have a couple of friends on and talk about things like this and their take on it and what they've been seeing in their part of the world and all of that stuff. So my first guest is Mr. Christopher Noon. Hang on. Oh, there you are. There you are. Hello, Chris. How are you doing? Chris Noonan.
Good evening.
So, that's very good. You managed to shut off your radio. Very skillful.
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir. Oh, that's a very nice graphic you've got there. That's is that like a Muse thing? Yes, it is a Muse thing. Beautiful.
Right. Yes. It's actually from the graphic is from the mapping of the human brain. Mm. And it looked like one of those sea plants.
Mm.
One of those particular sea plants. So I thought it was very colourful. It was very nice. It was nice to use as a very interesting Skype graphic.
Yes.
And plus, they're my favorite musicians at present, and they have been for some time. So it's my unending support for them as well, I guess.
Excellent. Yeah, you're a big Muse fan, and I quite like their latest one, which is very dub. You know, they're doing dubstep, but like with instruments.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, these guys are, there's a lot of comparisons to, I know it's getting off topic, but a lot of comparisons with these guys in Radiohead, but they're prog rock, they're progressive rock, but they really have pushed music forward, and especially with the likes of, guitar and bass effects as well. They've kind of created like new little gadgets and inventions which some other companies have copied and put into pedals and whatnot. So these guys are really pushing the boundaries, and they write about a lot of really cool stuff like aliens, UFOs, catastrophobia, Armageddon, MK Ultra, you name it. I mean, they've written so much stuff regarding that. They've written about lots of weird stuff that we all know about, so and they put that in their music, and it's really cool to listen to as well. So
they've got some very very gritty sounds that that have they're not like they're not just making noise for the sake of noise. They're making sound, but the sound is very modern. It's kind of industrial. You know, in the early days, I have a friend who plays with Test Department. I don't know if you've heard of Test Department.
No,
they were big in Germany. They were an industrial music band, and they've been going since the mid to late 80s. And my friend, he's a projectionist for them. So their gigs, they have it's very kind of stark. Kind of what's that word, Bauhaus kind of music, and you can imagine lots of clanging, clanging and grinding and crunching kind of sounds. So but I think Muse are a lot more musical, indeed, with these similar sort of structures. So
it's a fusion of many styles, and they're experimenting a lot more now with electronica and subsequently dubstep type of sound, but with live instruments. It's not actually really dubstep. This type of sound that's created with the guitar drum.
It's some of the dubstep sounds which are kind of those are dubstep has got a kind of industrial. It's really interesting because, when I was a kid, right, I used to listen to Kraftwerk, and it was
going
to
say them.
It was the geekiest thing to do is to see Kraftwerk. You know, I used to go with my geek mates and we went to see Kraftwerk at the Hammersmith Odeon, and there was this it was great, it's a real kind of James Brown moment because the stage comes up and these sounds are kind of and they did all their sounds, like today we have drum machines and you can just program in the beats. They never had drum machines. They had electronic timers and oscillators and filters that, it wasn't like one box. It was a series of laboratory equipment things, the audio filters, and they come from like industrial processing, and you got Kraftwerk, and they made all their beats, and they were fantastic beats, they made all their beats using oscillators and laboratory equipment and stuff like that, and then 20 years later we hear hip hop come back using the same beats that they're using the same sounding kind of things, but then in a musical fashion, And it, and like we're saying with dubstep and industrial coming into being musicalized by Muse, it's an interesting turn of the cycle.
And what's more beautiful, Jeremy, is that, you know, we are understanding more than ever now why we individually like this music, you know, in terms of frequency and vibration, what it is about the beats, these particular, you know, binaural beats, whatever it may be, what parts of the brain this is like triggering off, why these certain groups of people, why do they like this type of music, how does it kind of penetrate them as well. So we're really kind of getting into the whole kind of, you know, esoteric occult side of this now. So our understanding of why we like this is really developing at a fast pace as well. And I find that really beautiful. We understand it's like, right, well, I like this band, and I can scientifically, you know, biologically piece together now why I am open to and I can be penetrated by and really love this type of music. It's great. We're in great times.
Mm. Indeed. Oh, and Dave says hi.
Hello, Pops. Yeah, I do call him Pops.
He puts a little thing in the back channel now. So yes. Yeah. So meanwhile, so we were talking about Muse and how they were talking about these subjects that you know are kind of interesting to us and our audience really is you know they talk about sovereignty, you know, and I'll probably play that tune, that one that I use for Colleen's show. What's that one?
Oh, there's
the very famous one. Uprising, yeah. Uprising, yeah. If I can remember the name of it. In the middle there. But it's a and that's, you know, that's all about sovereignty and the revolution that is just currently happening as we sitting here comfortably in our little homes. There are people out in the streets all over the planet.
Mm-hmm. And they're mainly protesting about the Muslim film that was released, the innocence of Muslims is called, and it's freely available on YouTube. So this is what the big fuss is all about. But you know, I invite people to check this out, kind of cracky thing straight away, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. It's just what a piece of, you know, satire it is. It really is just so shoddy. I can't believe that this movie was made for the equivalent of like £3 million, which is something like $5 billion, like dollars, and it really is stupid, and it is offensive as well. It's offensive. You were chatting about this kind of, you know, prior to show tonight, Jeremy, as a possible topic, but you know, and I don't want to be discriminatory saying this, that is clearly not my intention, but this is really, you know, this movie is acting as such a tinderbox, you know, to light up the whole of the Middle East and targeting those poor, unfortunately uneducated people of the Muslim faith, of the Islamic faith as well, to set them on fire, to kind of trigger this violence as well. You know, the whole day-to-day thing, problem, reaction, and solution as well. And it's a lot more besides that as well, Jeremy. I feel that this is kind of the match has been lit, and the fuel has been lit then after that. But what comes up as the third step, well, it's pretty big. It's all happening now.
Well, we know the Zionists.
It's a plan within it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a plan within it.
Yeah, and we know that they're trying to make it. They're trying to bring a war because it'll kick the can down the road financially. But it's going to be thwarted. It is being thwarted at every step. You know, I think we were feeling a lot of this, you know, possibility of false flag events going on, and then there was suddenly this sense of relief. This mysterious. It was on the. I remember it was my show a couple of weeks ago, on the 9th, I think I called it, you know, we'll know by now. And really, there was a distinct change in atmosphere and vibration shortly before the show was about to start. And it was like, it's not going to happen. And there's this kind of, almost like a kind of relaxation and sigh of relief. Release language, as Cliff High would put it.
Yeah.
That there wasn't a false flag. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't a false flag planned. I'm just saying that there wasn't a false flag event. If that's so, and it was, you know, there was, it was literally on the cards. You know, we've all seen these Illuminati cards, and we see Big Ben falling down, and we see people running from a stadium, and all these TV programs that they've done, and nothing's happened. So I think it's I wouldn't say it was safe to say that we're over the worst, but I would say that in terms of the Zionista Khazarian conspiracies, there's, you know, they've had a bit of a bashing, I would say.
Yep, they've had a bit of a bashing, but they've found out also that, you know, this is not the time. Obviously, it may have been in the works to light this up and have it kind of underway for the Olympics. And you did discuss this back in kind of prior to the Olympic events. Jeremy, I was with you, you know, live on, and we were chatting about this. And again, we are going to chat again, you know, somewhat about the, you know, the last 3 months of 2012 and kind of going into 2013. You know, what's coming, what are we all kind of thinking, seeing, you know, and especially also what images do we have, you know, and following the media, what do we feel is essentially kind of, you know, going to happen. And I'm not surprised, Jeremy, I'm not surprised. Nothing happened. Unfortunately, I was not in the country. I live very near where the Olympics are going on, and fortunately I wasn't there at the time. I was there for the closing ceremony and the Paralympic closing ceremony as well, but yeah, nothing happened, and I feel that, you know, the main reason for, you know, nothing happening but it being planned was because that there were simply too many people who were latched onto the information that was being put out there. So things again were kind of, I feel, were put on hold. There was like so many whistleblowers coming out, you know, chatting with you on radio, chatting on, you know, Red Ice Creations as well. You know, a lot of this stuff was getting a lot of press, and about kind of, you know, body bags being ordered and things like that. There was so much stuff coming out. It's like, look, you know, the genies out of the lamp, guys, we're just going to have to hold this back. But the way I see it, Jeremy, is that we find that when a lot of stuff happens, when a lot of these OMG and ONFG moments happen, which I do expect will happen, it hits us from our periphery vision, and it hits us when least expected. Of course, intelligence had all the reports, you know, about quote-unquote the Osama bin Laden, you know, in Afghanistan, all this stuff that was going to happen prior to 9/11, and in the year 2000, they had, you know, the report with the New American Century as well, saying it would take a kind of a Pearl Harbor style of a, you know, of an attack to kind of help improve kind of, you know, security and defenses going in 21st century, but yeah, but obviously they didn't do anything about it, and things occurred kind of as they were, and here we are today.
Yes, we are, and so having survived the Illuminati, we are now having to deal with. Hang on, dan dan da. Dirty space. Dirty space. I wonder if just done things wrong. Okay. We're gonna have another guest in about half an hour, but the show topic is on dirty space and the filament and all these things, and there was an event a couple of days ago, and a couple of friends of mine actually witnessed it, and there was a meteor which shot across Scotland and lit up the sky apparently for 15 minutes. You know, that is one trail. That was a really strong trail. You know, there were burning particles in the sky. So, essentially, a meteor is... You know, we see shooting stars, okay, and those are meteorites. But a meteor is a kind of order of magnitude bigger. It's still burning up in the sky. It is possibly ice and rock, but in the friction in the re-entry that it makes, in the friction with our atmosphere, everything is superheated, becomes plasma, and it's very bright, you know, as this thing becomes atoms and molecules into the atmosphere. And so we're starting to see kind of larger things. You know, a meter is a much larger piece of dust, as I said, an order of magnitude greater. And when we're talking about dirt in space, you know, we can, you could imagine that a piece of dirt, you know, on a planetary wise level, can be quite large, you know, like a piece of dirt, you know, a bit of dust, a speck on planetary scale is like, that could be bigger than an aircraft carrier, that, you know, those are the biggest things that humans make, you know. So something the size of an aircraft carrier could be sitting in space, and as we're moving through space, we come into contact with it. That's what we're talking about. That's what dirty space is all about. What have you been seeing?
And, well, that's something I've picked up on recently myself, and I've noticed that, yeah, there's been more reports of debris and meteors coming through our atmosphere. You know, I've a family member who's based in Western Australia right now, and they sent me some pictures, you know, via the internet, you know, of an actual meteor that was shooting through the sky and broke up, you know, entering and kind of went into the ocean as well. It was a big thing that happened, you know, some months ago. This was kind of prior to the Olympics, so it was during the summer. Broke up over the ocean, entered the ocean in obviously it was the Indian Ocean, where they are based in Western Australia. And quite hard to see, and this was during the day, which is very interesting. A lot of people tend to see meteorites and meteors and whatnot to get a better view of this at night time. But it's very interesting you've brought this up, Jeremy. Obviously, this points to the Earth's position with the other planets in space right now, and our interplanetary model as well, bringing into, you know, account a couple of things that kind of cliff high, as you said, you know, regarding kind of, you know, the Earth's position, you know, being sucked behind the sun, and it's not a model that we're kind of brought to believe or taught that it's this particular model, but it's like, no, it's actually not like that, when we've been kind of like sold down the river, and it's actually another way.
Yeah.
So we are in a particular position in space right now, and I feel that, as you said, we're getting hit with more dirt. It's like we're traveling through this, how should I say, galactic plane, and we're kind of getting pebble-dashed a bit as well. Very interesting.
Well, this is what I illustrated at the beginning of the show. You know, I kind of took our audience, you know, we zoomed out a little bit and looked at the way the galaxy is, and really, we look at galaxies, and then we look at solar systems, and although on one dimension there is a similarity, as Cliff High, as you mentioned, he invokes the work of Dr. Bhatt, which is Bhat, Bhatt, he was an Indian fellow. I used to know a Girish Bhatt when I went to school. He came up with the idea, as I illustrated earlier, that the sun is flying through space, orbiting or being dragged behind by, being dragged behind by this star Alcyon, which, as astute astronomer fans know, is the central star of the Pleiades system. And what that turns out to be is that's another spiral system. You can see a diagram of that it completely independently from the book by Barbara Marciniak called Bringers of the Dawn. Okay, there is a picture of the Pleiades with Alcyon at the center, and a spiral, and all the stars fit on this spiral. So it's very clearly illustrating the same principle completely independently of Dr. Butt's theories. That the sun is moving through space and we're coiling behind it in a spiral fashion.
Essentially, with Dr. Butters, he proves that we have a helical trajectory of our solar system. Essentially, the sun is acting as a comet. We are being pulled right behind the sun. The order of the planets.
Yeah.
You know, our position of the sun is not what we're kind of made to believe. It's more different than we think and we feel, and that we are continuously meeting this dirt every so often. That we're getting, you know, we're getting pebble-dashed by all this stuff now, going through space. But we have been here many times before through space. It's not that we're coming into a new part of space. That we will in turn. It's like with that, I forget the name of it, that particular, I think it was YU, what was it, the asteroid or the comet that was due to make an entry into Earth's atmosphere, but it didn't, you know, that was earlier this year, wasn't it? Can you remember that, Jeremy?
Yeah, all of these things are part of this dirty space. Things would be easier were it not for the fact that the ribbon is coming as well. The ribbon is coming! The ribbon is, or the filament as it's been called by NASA, or the Nexus as it's called by Star Trek fans, being this ripple that's coming out from the galactic center. Again, you know, as we're going through, we just happen to be coming down on the top of the galactic, down into the middle of the galactic center, at the same time as this ripple's coming out towards the towards us, towards the edge of the galaxy. Remember, we're on the outer rim of the Milky Way, the outer edge of the galaxy. It's kind of, you know, we're quite suburban. And we're spinning around, and there's all the space that we're moving through as we're being dragged, as the sun is being dragged along behind Alcyone, going through its cycles, going up and down in the plane of the galaxy. And then at the same time, we've got this pulse of light and photons and all this other stuff, which to the scientists appears as a ribbon. But if you were to think about it and kind of zoom and pan up in your imagination out of the side of the galaxy, you can actually see that what we're looking at is edge on a ripple that is coming out from the middle. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you feel, Jeremy, that this ribbon is an interesting one? Do you feel that this is kind of a control-alt-delete kind of effect from the galactic center? It's like... what do you think about that?
It's more like a new upgrade is available. Would you like to install it now? It's like the new version of life as we know it. And what's interesting is, here we have, and then we're also told that here we are, we're inside a hologram. You know, just to throw this one completely sideways off the rails, that we're inside a hologram and all of these things are happening on a... Yeah, I really don't get this. I don't get... Where is the hologram? Are we in the hologram in space? Or is is the hologram just because we're standing on the planet? Does the hologram exist on, say, the moon? What part of the hologram do we get, and what is real and not holographic? You know, is the Earth a holographic thing,
or is the hologram being beamed from the moon? And that was something that was dealt with before, and David Icke is going to quite a bit about that. That we could have some friendly bodies or some unfriendly beings. Could be beaming something directly from the moon as a satellite. It is a satellite of the Earth. What are they sending us? What sort of signals? What sort of transmission are they contributing towards this this reality of ours, this projection, this matrix. Mm. So many ideas, so many questions come to mind.
Yeah, because I wonder, if we're in the matrix, is space in the matrix? Or is space just a big, it's the game as well, the whole thing, everything that we regard as real, is that all projection? I wonder about this sometimes.
Or do we have someone like Q out of their Star Trek Encounter at Farpoint as well? It's like, is there some being or something, a thing or an isness that is kind of in control of this as well? It's a very interesting topic, very deep. So many words kind of come to mind. It's very easy to kind of to melt the mind with this as well, which shows us, it shows where we are at a particular stage of evolution. We're looking towards the stars. We're pushing, but we kind of get to that point where we're like. And there's a kind of a great pause. Mm. The great pause. It's like, well, I think we've got a bit further to go. Yeah, we've got a couple of more lifetimes yet. Let's keep going. Mm. Let's go as far as we can go in this lifetime, and then take it to the next, and take it from there again.
Mm. So, looking up, because here's the thing. We've been trained. Everybody's been trained to look down. You see people walking along the street nowadays, and guess what they're doing? They're texting, or they're messing with their mobile, or figuring out what the hell am I looking at on these things. And they have. Everybody's been trained to look down. You never know what you're going to tread in. You're looking at your feet, and everybody's. We've been trained not to look at the sky. And, in London, it's not worth it, because it's really boring, isn't it? It's the grey blanket that I always remember.
That's just the chemtrails.
Yeah, and now you've got chemtrails, right? When I was young, we just had good old-fashioned smog. Yeah. Who knows what industrial chemicals were pumped into the air then? Whether we were also being poisoned by something, they took one away to replace it with a more sophisticated version. Perhaps smog is a mind control thing. I don't know. Anyway, go on.
I was just going to add to that. That's like the smog is there. It's the smog is essentially. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. It's ozone. It's too much ozone, which is present due to very very warm weather. And one of the ways that it can be, gotten rid of is that if we kind of have a great kind of downpour. If we have lots of rain or lots of thunder and whatnot to kind of crack things up and freshen things. But I was just going to add that, well, smog, yes, but the chemtrails seem to be the upgrade of smog, or the chemtrails seem to be an entirely different thing altogether, like a different angle or a different kind of piece of the plan that has been engaged as well, which is something that we were chatting about kind of prior to the show. And I did come across something on Jeff Rentz doing some research earlier on about a guy who contacted Jeff Rentz. He's from East London, where I'm situated, and he sent Jeff Rentz a couple of pictures. This probably gone back to 2004, but they still look very familiar to what I saw yesterday in London. Kind of like nice blue sky in London, and you've got all the crosses kind of going. You've got all the X's and the kind of the crucifixes and all these kind of dashes here and there, like paintbrushes of these white kind of chemtrails. But what I also spotted yesterday was it's that kind of like white filament. There's that word filament again. Mm. That white kind of veil. It's kind of like a thin white veil which kind of hangs there as well. And of course, you've mentioned, JP, that we're trained not to look at the sky or to think about stuff. Well, what is that stuff? Why is it hanging? Why is it hanging around there? What's in that? How can that kind of like affect our health? And how can that how can that affect our food? What is this stuff? Oh no, it's fine. It's contrails. It just kind of sticks around when the plane's going along at a very very high altitude, and there's some like kind of, you know, jet fuel and whatnot. It's combustion, essentially. That's what we're told, because it's so high up, it's really, really cold. They're just clouds, they just go away. But no, I think we all know there's a lot more to it than that. And people have debunked that as well. But over here at part A, you know, if you go into any Google image search, you'll be shown straight away, this is what a contrail looks like. This is what a chemtrail looks like as well, when all these chemicals are dispersed, and you know, the significant amount of time that they actually linger in the atmosphere for. And you know, Jeremy, we chatted about kind of chemtrails, and we touched upon, you know, Morgellons syndrome, which is very, very serious, which is very serious illness, and is becoming more widespread now, kind of outside the United States. You know, it's been present in the United Kingdom and many other countries, and lots of people are self-diagnosing themselves as well. And this it is baffling the establishment. It's baffling, you know, the medical establishment and doctors. Where, you know, people are becoming very supportive of each other as well, and they're kind of, you know, supporting each other, counselling each other with this, and kind of learning how to kind of, you know, combat it as well. But what people are being met with as usual is that, no, this is just a form of, you know, neurosis, psychosis. This is all in your mind. Take these pills. It's just a neurological disorder that you developed. And take all of these pills and whatnot, and it will essentially go away. That's what they're telling people. But where it gets very, very freaky, very funky, and very serious is when people actually have these filaments or fibers that are kind of growing
out of their skin.
Lesions. With Morgellons syndrome, Jeremy, and for people who may have researched this or may not know much about it, like, what people develop is they have a feeling of like a stinging or a rash or something itchy or scratchy underneath their skin. Feels like something's kind of moving around. It really does seem like something out of like some sort of like horror movie. But then they can also have lesions which develop as well, these open sores. It sounds like something biblical, Jeremy, doesn't it? It really sounds like a plague.
Well, I don't know about plagues. It sounds sinister and freaky to me.
Well, it is. Well, but basically, the people have been told, you know, this has been investigated by, you know, the US government, you know, the Center for Disease Control and these military guys. They have actually said that, oh, the people are delusional, and also that these filaments, these fibers coming out of these particular wounds, these lesions, they're nothing more than just the fibers from the clothes. But if people go on to sites like Morgellons UK or Morgellons, that's fine, Jeremy, thanks for your message there. Morgellons Exposed, it's one word, Morgellons Exposed.com. Have a look at the pictures that are there. People are literally growing rocks. They are growing other organic matter out of their body. There are crystals. There are cobalt crystals which are coming out of the body as well. It is incredibly interesting. It's scary. And it's fascinating all at the same time. And people are reporting, you know, very small nano-type devices which are being pulled from their bodies as well. But what's also being proven by the Morgellons syndrome sufferers is that with these particular fibers as well, when they are heated, they change, they can grow, they can like mutate, and other fibers can grow from that as well. It reacts to heat, it is completely organic, and that these fibers contain elements which are present from the skies, in terms of the aluminium, the iron, and the elements or the compounds.
Barium.
And barium, etc. Yes, exactly, JP, you hit it on the nail there.
Barium is the thing.
Present in these filaments. And this, of course, is kind of pointing more towards transhumanism. They're kind of helping us, quote-unquote, kind of move forward. But what's also very interesting and also scary, Jeremy, is that, you know, with these chemicals and whatnot, once they're ingested, once the body is accustomed to this as well, it's like giving the human populace or a group of people or whatever a kind of like a nice coating, a nice kind of basting, and that can ultimately lead to, it's like a Project Bluebeam kind of situation, and, you know, mind control as well. Operate us, mind control us with a certain amount of hertz in our frequency as well. Turn up the knob a little bit, we're all basted, we're all nicely wet, ready to go in the oven, turn up the knob a bit, and kind of like control how we act, think, feel, etc. And I really would point people, I've taken some notes before the show, to look at an incredible talk by a lady. She's been on Red Ice and a couple of great radio shows. Her name's Sophia Smallstorm. That's Smallstorm. Sophia Smallstorm. Put her name into YouTube, and she gives this incredible conference, which is about maybe an hour to an hour and a half, and it's all about Morgellons syndrome, and very, very interesting and intricate research that has taken place regarding this syndrome. It all began, Jeremy, Morgellons came about, it began back in 2001 from a lady. Herself and her son started to get these particular symptoms. And it was fortunate that they worked in the areas of science and medicine, and they could really take this forward. People can Wikipedia for the information. The name Morgellons doesn't come from the person who discovered it. It was a name that was brought about by them. It's explained more online. But the name of the lady who discovered this with herself and her son suffering from Morgellons was a lady called Dr. Leitao. So that's L-E-I-T-A-O, Leitao. It sounds quite Asian or Oriental. But check out Sophia Smallstorm and Dr. Leitao as well. It's quite new, Jeremy. Mm. It's quite new. Since 2001 and 2002, Morgellons has become more widespread, but even more so now outside the United States and coming right over to the United Kingdom and abroad. So that's the question remains. Like that famous documentary says, what in the world are they spraying? Honest, is it that the people with Morgellons syndrome, their bodies are actually reacting to these antigens, to these agents, and it's a kind of a reactionary sort of behavior from the body, as in it's developing these sores, as it doesn't want this particular body, you know, trying to enter into us? Or is it that Morgellons is probably present in all of us, that we have actually interacted with it, and only a certain amount of people will respond to it in a specific way? It's an incredibly interesting topic, and a little bit scary as well. It's not my intention to, you know, inject fear into people by chatting about this, but a lot of people are noticing the spraying that's going on in the skies, Jeremy, and I feel, you know, it would be very beneficial for people to check out these talks and documentaries, and check out Morgellonsexposed.com and Sophia Smallstorm, and really, you know, make up their own mind and see what they think and feel about it.
Okay, so now we're on the subject of chemical trails and geoengineering. I'd like to bring in a friend of ours, is Karen Quintostado.
Give her enough time to switch off her radio. I'd like to bring her in because she's had some experiences with chemical trails and campaigns and things like that. And Karen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, JP. Thank you for having me on. I've been enjoying the conversation.
So, we've been looking up what's in the sky. What are they spraying? You were talking about having a guest on, or have you already had a guest on?
Well, I have had quite a few guests on that have to do with geoengineering, and next week for 2 hours, my guest is going to be Dane Wiggingham, and he actually advised Michael Murphy in both films, and he's featured in both films. He's up in Northern California. He is the tall, slender man. He's got dark hair combed back. He's very he's a handsome, well-spoken man of high integrity, and I'm giving him the floor for both hours because I want people to call in. I want them to really hear what he has to say, because according to him, this is an extinction-level event as well that we are living in right now.
Well, so there are, you know, we've run through a few. I have a couple more things about chemical trails that have, you know, kind of it's slightly irksome actually, but the idea is that these threads combine together within our bodies under our skin. We don't know how much they can process in themselves. They appear to have nano intelligence in them. They seem to have some kind of, you know, organic capability. And my concern is that these things grow under your skin and create a nervous system that can control your muscles remotely, so we all can become unconscious. They might even be able to switch off the brain, cut off the brain from the ability to think and feel, and just to obey instructions given over radios. That's my major kind of nightmare scenario about the eventual effect of the chemtrails.
They've got us under our skin.
I know, yes. And I'm itching bad.
I think that you've got something there, because I've seen pictures also. I know a woman who has taken photographs, although for some reason they haven't done a movie yet on her that I'm aware of. But if these photographs are true and if all of her evidence is true, and it seems to be, I do know people who know her who have seen firsthand. I mean, she spends 7 to 8 hours a day physically digging these living creatures out of herself, and there are pictures of one that actually gave birth after they dug it out of her. It's crazy. Yeah, I know. There are no words. I can't imagine that. And she has not physically been able to hold her grandchild for fear of contagion. And it's, I tell you, when I listen to her, the strength still in her voice, I mean, she's also a woman of high integrity and very challenged, but it's amazing that she can laugh at all and talk about it now like the daily occurrence that unfortunately it is.
So there has to be some kind of, well, there's got to be a strength within us that is able to resist these things. You know, we're never thrown things that we can't resist if we take the right attitude. And, you got cut off there.
As opposed to a bad attitude.
A bad attitude, yes. Yes, because when we there, you know, it's like we've got radio controllers in our bodies. You know, the our brain sends signals in color and light and sound into our muscles, and that's how we move our body. And, you know, the body also has its own intelligences. It works like, we've got brain cells in our heart, and basically all the organs. We've got thinking cells as well as just kind of pumping and filtering and things like that. So we've got a whole intelligent machine for our bodies. And the idea of these threads going through and infiltrating those, which it is, it's an infiltration. It's like something out of Babylon 5. I remember there was a story about a woman who had these implants by the psycho, the psychological. It was actually the interesting. Here's an interesting thing. All right, I know it's a sci-fi, but now we're finding out that sci-fi is a more and more real. Especially from our contactee Alex Collier was
is going to be talking about this in a few weeks' time. It'll be released in a couple of weeks. A series of interviews talking about this very subject, which is that sci-fi films in the past and in the present are actually giving us real information. You know, the human interest story is fictional, but the real information about the technology that they're using and the things that they come across seem to be more and more real. We've had teleportation for years, we've had anti-gravity for years, and we've been pretending, or the media has been pretending, that there's nothing of the sort happening, and it's quite bizarre. And now we're at a point where it's absolutely undeniable, but also unbelievable. And that's where we're going to have a lot of issues in the next few months, because all this stuff we've been talking about for years is now coming out into the mainstream.
Predictive programming.
True.
It's very hard to tell anymore what is real and what isn't real. You know, earlier when you gentlemen were talking about what's happening in the sky, I'm very interested in that as well, in terms of what does it really mean. My husband and I were having a discussion, and he's saying, oh, they've been talking about 2012 for a couple hundred years now, and that isn't true. I mean, it's thousands of years. It's our entire recorded history. And so many different cultures, you know, the Olmecs, really, whose calendar the Mayans are given credit for, the Aztecs, the Egyptians. What is it really about this? And I kind of like the theory as well that just like as we grow up, we don't physically have any control over our body's ability of aging. And when we go from adolescence to adulthood, it's just part of the ride. So I'm hopeful that this is part of the ride, but I'm also tending to think that if I were vested first and foremost in my survival at all others' costs, it didn't matter, because this is the mindset, if you listen to Mark Passio of the and some other people, you know, of the Luciferian sect that's in power, you know, their first thing is self-preservation above everything else. And if you knew that there was a 3,600-year cycle when a planet, an asteroid, I don't know, when some kind of large body came around, then you would do whatever you could to make sure that you were covered by the time it got here. And if you are just thinking of self-preservation, you're not going to care about the rest of humanity. You're going to want to control everything you can. You won't care how much you destroy. It's another reason also to put a bunch of chemicals in the sky that we can't see through, and to direct your books to go toward that date, you know. And then again, is it all a hoax? I don't know. And then the ribbon you were talking about, you know, we're all cruising here in a sea of possibilities and invisibilities and different dimensions. It's so difficult anymore to figure out just what the frack is coming. But yeah. It's interesting. Yes.
The interesting, you know, element is the completely random possibility that, you know, we may not be moving through an area of clean space, and how dirty is dirty is the big question. You know, what constitutes dirt, and how big are the specks? Because you could say it was an asteroid, you could say it was a meteor, you could say it was a meteorite, it's a matter of scale. But basically these things are sitting there and we're moving towards them. You know, it's inevitable consequences.
I'd never heard of that before, JP, that we are actually moving toward them. That is a whole different... I mean, I've known that we're on a spiral.
We're being dragged by our sun into a minefield. That's what's happening.
Wow.
But yeah, and you know, you could say, you know, there might be planet-sized bits of space dust. Not to worry anybody, you know, we'll know about it. and it will happen at once. But you know, there's this thing they call the global coastal, the global coastal event, which is going to mess up a lot of the Earth. But let's also talk about what might be up there, and that there are hundreds and hundreds, and perhaps millions, of cloaked spaceships ready to evacuate instantly.
That's very Star Trek.
I know.
Chris, I just want to say, Chris, it's nice to meet you. I didn't mean to jump in and take over the whole conversation.
Chris, Chris.
No, not at all. No, it's very interesting. Please continue. But, I mean, I'll dive straight in, guys, with a little bit of feedback and that. Yeah, of course. I mean, I would go with the flow in that, you know, there are many vessels up there. You know, we are gods. We are the gods, kind of plural. You know, big experiments. There is a lot of small craft, medium-sized craft, and super-sized craft as well, who are monitoring us. We are the lab mice. I'm not sure what's going to happen with them. In terms of them, you know, doing a kind of like a big evac. I would remain open to the possibility. It's like, look, well, you know, you guys, if you want to destroy yourselves, we'll go ahead. We'll start this again at some other point or some other time. Or we already have this going now. We already have this mirror image of you guys taking place already. But we just want to see. This is interesting, kind of how you guys kind of play out. It's something I've never investigated in terms of the kind of, you know, the evac of planet Earth, you know, if we kind of come crashing into kind of something else, or if we're, you know, about to, like, you know, nuke ourselves out of existence. That's something I really kind of haven't thought about that. But with this deck of cards, we are being allowed to come into a space as much as possible where we realize that we are the creators of our own justice and joy and lots of, you know, beautiful things, heavenly things. We're being given the space and the time to come to realization of that. But, you know, time is running short. And in terms of the Kali Yuga, you know, we are going from that kind of Iron Age to Bronze Age, and, you know, kind of hopefully into the Golden Age, which I hope that we are proceeding into at a good rate of speed and a good rate of time. And I can only hope and wish that kind of more people kind of unplug themselves from, you know, the Matrix. They wake up, they pull away from the cattle, and they can really take a good look at what's going on. Maybe scary at first, you know, but I had a great description of this. It's like, you know, it's like an animal being let out of a cage for the first time. You know, it sticks its nose out, kind of like puts the head out first, like kind of looks to the left, looks to the right, up, down, and whatnot. But then it will eventually kind of venture out and, you know, look around at its surroundings. But I feel that it's very important for us. Of course, we can all kind of debate, you know, what's going to happen, you know, a month down the line, 2 months down the line, 3 months down the line. But, you know, the future is now. It's very important to take every day as it comes. We find ourselves, we're in this position right now on this radio show with lots and lots of other people listening, and other people who will listen to the recording of this as well. We are exactly where we need to be. We are arming ourselves. We are sowing seeds. We are gathering. It's a great gathering. We're gathering all of this information, and we're taking it all in. The record button has been hit for quite some time with us, you know, well, since birth, in fact. And we're getting ready to help people kind of come into awareness and to kind of carry them when they freak the chops, when it comes to one of those OMFG moments, and it's like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, what do I do? Yes, Jeremy, we will wrap it up.
Yeah, so basically, I just want to thank everybody for listening to the first hour of Ever Beyond this evening, and we're going to continue after this break. And with this break, we are going to play your band, your favorite band, the only track that I've got. And actually what I did, I pitch shifted this into 4-3-2. So here is a 4-3-2 shifted version of Uprising by Muse. There we go. Yes, that's exciting, that news music, isn't it, Chris? Chris, where have you gone?
Fantastic.
That kept you on your toes. So where were we? Just while we were behind the musical curtain there, we were talking about some very interesting stuff. Mainly the idea that, well, really, you know, I introduced the idea quite late in the hour just there, but the idea of the fact that we're moving through the galaxy. We're on the outer spiral arm of the galaxy, and the spiral is made of spirals within spirals within spirals. Yes, yes, yes. And basically, we have our star, which is being dragged along by Alcyone, and the our star is dragging us along, and we are being dragged into an area that we are being, that our scientists are sort of euphemistically called dirty space. I translate that as an asteroid belt, an asteroid field, you know, but it may be dust, but it may be bigger things than that. On the other hand, there have been lots of people talking about this kind of thing, you know, that we have stuff falling from the sky. There's been many, many prophecies about things falling from the sky. There's been many prophecies about lots of things that are kind of happening just now. One of the things that I'm kind of interested in, you know, is this idea, and it came from one of David Wilcock's blogs a long time ago, probably about 18 months, 2 years, long before, you know, he'd been, you know, doing all this stuff. But one of his dreams, and he was talking about this dream, and maybe he might remember it as I talk about it, but he related this dream that he was standing with various people standing around, and suddenly he saw meteors falling from the sky, you know, great big fireballs, flaming things that hit the ground, bang, 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 bang. And he just remained calm, and he and his people and the people that he knew were not being hit by these meteors. That the that somehow being in the right place at the right time was a natural thing. So I'm gonna extend that. We're all headed towards dangerous times, and it's been prophesied in many, many traditions, and including the Christian. So here's what I'm going to put forward. That, yes, we're headed towards a minefield. But if you're in your heart, you'll know the right place to be so that you're not where one of these things happens. That you're not hit by a wave. That you're not hit by a meteor striking the ground. But just keep calm, because it's something that we'll move through. And so, what do you think about that one? And also, where do chemtrails might fit in terms of dealing with moving through dirty space? Could this be the reason that they've been putting chemtrails up there? That it may be some kind of electric, like a fly swatter. You know these electric fly swatters that you have in the cafes, and you know, you see the fly go, and you know, this thing goes, and you know, there goes another moth. And do you think that this is what they've been trying to do by creating all these chemical trails? That they're electroconductive, they can fire up HAARP if an asteroid or asteroid stream is on its way, and poof these things out of existence before they hit the ground. Could that be a possible? Could they be saving us by doing this stuff? Who'd like to start?
I feel there's a lot of possibilities with this, and anything that you said there, JP, is, you know, it's more than possible. Are they protecting us? Are they putting a coating, you know, some sort of a filament or like a white veil there to, you know, to stop certain kind of like rays hitting us, maybe? Or do they want to put a coating there to stop us from seeing certain things as well, to mask us from certain things? You know, it really sounds like that. It sounds as if something like this has taken quite a bit of time to plan, at such on such a mass scale. But what's becoming apparent is that this seems to be and is getting scientifically connected, you know, evidentially to the fact that it's having an effect on people's health. And people are asking questions because they're finding, you know, these compounds, these elements of these chemicals in the air are connecting to these wounds which are appearing on the body. So naturally people are asking questions and they're, you know, they're connecting, you know, the dots, they're joining the dots, etc. So they, you know, they want to know what's going on. I would go with the electroconductivity kind of part of what you were saying, JP. I've noticed myself when drinking water, for example. Now, this may be very plausible or better kind of, you know, biologically / scientifically explained by somebody else. It may be something very simple. But I've noticed in the past couple of months, say, let's say in the last 6 months, that my own electroconductivity level has increased. When I drink water at times, when I touch certain, you know, metals or whatnot, or if I'm in the gym and I go to take like a drink of water, at various times, I'm getting an electric shock of substances as well. I put my mouth down to the fountain and I try to take a nice cool drink of water, and I'm feeling these like static shocks. There's something on my lips. There's something in my mouth. And I've been looking at that. I've been quizzing that and feeling, you know, what's going on?
I'd actually go to the maintenance department, because the earth is probably earth is not properly earthed. Are you getting that there's an electric potential going on there? But you know, joking aside, it's a very interesting possibility that they could actually be doing something for us, you know.
I don't buy that, though, JP.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm just putting the possibility in there, because, you know, like I said, we're heading towards a minefield. Would they tell us? I doubt it.
So just not telling us is doing a disservice. That's doing harm. It's where I feel that they really have messed up as well, because they're immoral. This whole thing is immoral, and it goes back to earlier when I joined the program. If you knew you had 3,600 years, you knew it was coming around, you trusted your elders because you actually kept that information and you stole the information from the other mystery schools, you destroyed most of the shaman cultures, you did everything you could to keep us blinded and very easily propagandized, you know. Mm. There's always been a ruling class, which means you got to have a bigger fooling class, because we're always fooled into giving away our power because we are waiting to be ruled, to have a master. And if they hadn't taken our money forcibly, I mean, you look at the IRS, you can go to jail. Pretty soon you won't be able to travel here, so they say, if you owe money to the IRS. Last Sunday, in our little local Oregon paper here, they had a two-page column or a big two pages of people who were delinquent on their property taxes. They outed them publicly. They put their names, they put their addresses, and they said this is the first step in 30 days of, you know, starting to really take over your property because we need you to pay us back. And when you think about what they've done with the money, you think about the underground cities, you think about the technology that has been subverted and kept from us for the military, who are making things like robotic snakes. We saw drone mosquitoes and things. It makes too much sense to me to start connecting all of these dots where they don't care about the Gulf of Mexico and the oil. They wouldn't care what they did. And if they kept us from seeing the doom that was coming, they would also be able to inherit whatever's left, since they're also hiding their seeds and the technology, and they've got just unbelievable cities underground. You know, I don't think that you would need that if you planned on really helping humanity or capitalizing like they've been doing it off of humanity in order to bleed us dry until the last minute when they just head out, if that's the case. I mean, again, I could be wrong there, but I don't think they're trying to help us.
Yeah, okay. That's, you know, that's true, and it is... See, the thing is, right, I know you're saying, you know, I get you, right, and I totally agree, but there's this other side of me that's got this nagging feeling that, you know, if I was a government and I'd seen how things get when, you know, this is the old story, isn't it? It's the old story. You don't want to shock them. You don't want to shock the public, because then, you know, they're going to stop paying taxes. They're going to stop buying things. They're going to stop, certainly going to stop their mortgages, you know. It's very, very bad for business, unless you're a survival storage salesperson, in which case you're going to be flooded. But if you're going to say, you know, and your scientists, they estimate, you know, well, this is going to be like 50%, you know, 50% of the population are going to be killed by this meteor storm that we're going to have, you know. What are you going to do as a government, as the world government? You all know about it. What are you going to do? Are you going to tell people?
Well, you could if you really wanted to help, because you're in charge of the education centers. You're in charge of everything. You are the ones who determine what goes out, what goes in our vaccinations, what all the rest of this. So, at least to me, I finally had to come around to believing that the so-called elite, the evil, lying, inbred, traitorous eugenicists, do not have our best at heart. They are all about self-preservation. Above all, they have a timetable to go off of. I don't know what's coming down December 21st. I don't know if we'll even really notice a lot of us. I have no idea. I don't know if this asteroid or whatever it is coming toward us or we're going toward it. I know that we are keeping our eye on a certain part of the sky here that's a little intriguing with a red kind of a flash. You've got in China the Wang River that is red. Supposedly there's a red iron oxide ore that's coming ahead of this thing, or maybe we're going into it. I mean,
that's what the dust is.
Yeah, but I don't think that they really... Well, they're coming from a lower mindset. They're coming out of fear and control. I mean, you look at the violence and everything. I think it's really us for us, and we're going to use these poor military and policemen who don't understand how brainwashed they are to, you know, to hold people back, to work against themselves. We're just going to be totally out of control, and we go underground when it all hits. You guys stay here. We're comfortable for the next who knows how many years, and we'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah, knock on the door when it's over, will you? So, yeah, but, you know, it's not just... You see, I think that what they're producing for themselves, by, you know, if they're making great big underground tin cans, they're creating little microwave ovens, you know, they're just as dust as we are, you know, if that's what's going to be happening. But, you know, I'm sorry, Karen.
There are YouTubes on there. Well, just talking about the underground cities, there are some, if you haven't watched them or Googled them, it's amazing what they're doing underground. And I don't know why they're there, and I could be totally wrong. It wouldn't be the first time, and it won't be the last.
Yes, yes. So, this is one of the things that Gary Cassidy was talking about a few months ago. Was like, have you got your ticket? You know, you go up to all the politicians. Have you got a ticket? Yeah. Are you one of the good ones? Or, you know, are you one of the elite? Have you earned the ticket? But you know, being okay. So again, thinking we're moving through space dust. Space dust could be as big as you know. And the other thing about the red rivers, that could also be part of the residue of Venus. because that was one of the effects that happened 3,600 years ago when Venus passed us by. This is from the Velikovsky theory of worlds in collision. And the idea is that Venus, which was born out of Jupiter, arrived in our solar system, in the inner part of the solar system, 3,600 years ago, and flew past the Earth very, very closely and created all of the events which we call now the Exodus. I've spoken about this a few times on the show. But at the time, the Nile turned to blood, didn't it? So they say. And they're saying, you know, these are biblical, blah, 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 biblical events happening all over again. We had a Venus transit in June this year. I think it was just before or after the equinox. I can't remember. I know that Tracy did her ceremony thing at the time. Anyway, so when Venus transits, Venus still has a tail. Everything's got a tail that trails off into infinity, away from the sun. You know, we have a solar wind that's happening about 400 kilometers a second that is passing the planets constantly. And so there's a tail behind each planet. And when you get a transit, you literally get... you literally have the tail passing over the planet. And that's what happened 3,600 years ago. And that's what we're called the Ten Plagues. And we're getting the same kind of things. But I believe that that's connected with the transit of Venus. Just to get things in proportion.
And this goes into, astrotheology.
Yeah.
Santo Spinacci and astrotheology. It's incredibly interesting.
Karen?
Well, I wanted to also touch on a point, though, that you brought up earlier in terms of when or if this actually does come to literally pass. If we would be in the right space at the right time, and I don't remember where I read it, but in some book or website, I read that when Atlantis was destroyed and many people died, that instead of all the fear and the panic that would be generated into that morphogenic field around us, that the majority of the population understood that this was simply a transit and that it happened at a time like what is supposed to be happening now with these disasters and earthquakes. And so they gave themselves peacefully to the sea, and possibly, again, that is ascension. You know, I like to believe that we're in a safe spot here. This has felt where we have parked our real estate here. It's 5 years. I think it's almost 6 years. And when I first got my 528, I was pinging all over the place and vibing it in, and I feel very protected, very at home here, and yet we're only 70 miles from the ocean. And if this does go by, and if it lands in the Pacific Ocean, there are mountain ranges and things. It would take a while to get here. There are no guarantees. But at the same time, there is that, you know, where do you go? It's all a crapshoot anyway. I think you have to be comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah, where do you go? Your own skin. And that is, you know, I think, like, I've just got, you know, going back to that dream that David Wilcott related, and he had a series of dreams like this, and in all of the cases, that as he remained calm, everything was all right. And there were people running around and screaming and panicking, and they were getting killed, but the ones who were calm and in their hearts were okay, and they stood in the right place, you know. And this, again, goes back to something I heard in Bible prophecy where, you know, one person may die and the person standing next to them may disappear. This may be another form of ascension, of course, but it could also be, oh, look at them, looks like a meteor coming towards. And then, you know, there's a great big hole in the ground where you used to be. But the person standing next to you being calm is somehow... You know, it's like being in the right place at the right time. And this is something that when you do, quote, the work, that's one of the side effects of it. That more and more you find yourself in synchronicity, more and more you find yourself talking to the right person, bumping into certain people, having a very essential conversation, and then moving on. And you were there in that moment because you had to be there, and that you were drawn to be there. That, I think, is an extension of this same ability, same human ability to, and that's what I call telepathy. Is because you're moved by the soul which exists in the soil. You know, we're moved from the ground. We're an expression of the soul of the planet. What do you think? Anyone? Chris?
Yes.
Or did everybody fall asleep?
No, not at all. Completely enveloped by what you were saying. It's just kind of gathering your thoughts. It's quite a lot to take in. It's very interesting what you say. So JP, I think I'm kind of quite hot with some feedback just on the speakers. I was just wondering if you could turn those down.
Yeah, I've just turned them.
Great, thanks. Things which are before us will not pass us by or pass us over. You know, and quote to quote, you know, when we are in the right, you said place, but when I've heard when we are in the right space, when we're in the right space, at the right time, things will happen for us as well. It's just very interesting with what you were saying, really kind of took me back to like lots of everyday connotations and kind of, you know, colloquial language that we all tend to use among each other, you know, in terms of hope and kind of how we reassure us what's for you will not pass you by, and when you're in the right place or the right space and the right time, you know, things will initiate for you and for us as a whole. But I really do vibe with what you were saying, Jake. I definitely kind of flow with and kind of towards what you mentioned about kind of being in that place or that space of feeling kind of connected and kind of more attuned, more sensitive within ourselves and to everything around us, and that occurs by doing the work, number one, and also a combination of number two, which is experiences and events which occur in our lives, which brings me to the, you know, to quite a grim realization that I share with you guys and all the listeners, but I'm sure you would all feel that there's a lot of people waking up. There's hundreds and thousands of people, maybe more, I'm sure, every day that are kind of, you know, coming into a greater state of awareness. They're having this quote-unquote awakening. They're realizing what's going on around them, you know, and, you know, they're investigating conspiracy theories and government, and they're kind of joining all the dots and the numbers and whatnot kind of together. But there's still an incredible amount of people who are asleep, and they choose to remain in that zombie state, and they're very, very happy with it. And if you mention anything like what we're talking about to them, I feel there is still quite a lot of fear based around the truth being rarely pure and never simple, as Oscar Wilde has kind of stated in his famous saying. So I'm still quite astounded by the sheer amount of people that are, you know, unawake and don't want to be, who really don't want to be. Oh, well, the whole thing is like, oh, what do we do? What do we do? We start a revolution, or we'll keep on going anyway. We'll just stay the way we are. We'll remain kind of close to X, Y, and Z. We'll keep on going. And I do have to, you know, admire them for the fact that, you know, they're still kind of like moving forward as well. But there seems to be this kind of great resistance. It's like, how dare you disturb me in my kind of zombified reality with the herd of the sheep, with what I'm doing. I'm very, very, very happy with this. And if you dare attempt to take me out of this particular equation or this state of being, I will react. So leave me alone and go do whatever you have to do. You're crazy, you know. I've encountered that, you know, a bit, but that's kind of the general kind of feeling and consensus that I get from people around me on quite a daily basis. All you have to do is just kind of stop around a very kind of busy area, or I mean, taking somewhere like London, where I'm based, and just look at the people like kind of drones, going back and forward, the worker ants, and how distracted so many people are. I find that, Karen and Jeremy, I find that actually that's quite concerning. That's quite scary. That still a lot of people are choosing to remain in that space, and who get really agitated if they're given that half glass of water. It's like, well, look, see, can't you see kind of what's happening? And they still call it, you know, a load of hogwash. It's frightening, you know.
Well. But, you know, we're like I was saying at the beginning of the program, things that we were babbling on about, you know, a couple of years ago are now coming into the mainstream. You know, and it was with great pride I could demonstrate to my skeptical son, my 16-year-old son who knows everything, you know, as they do, you know, yes, do you remember I was speaking about the salted gold 2 years ago, and here it is in the news, you know, it's kind of, we are starting to gain a bit of credibility, because the things that we have been talking about are starting to come to pass. How quickly people are going to be able to process this, I mean, it's more than information, because you have to process the denial as well. The realization that you've been lied to, all of that stuff that we've had years to do, really, you know, because, you know, we may have been done wrong by a journalist or by some other member of the media to start that investigation, and you think, all right, you realize that you've been lied to all along. You know, they not only lie to you on the media, but they've lied to you in physics and chemistry and all these things that you thought were actual real things, provable things. No, some of these equations don't end up to be what the reality is, and then you investigate more and discover that there is a whole bunch of our fellow humans who have been who are moving away and creating their own civilization. And what we're talking about is the people involved in the secret space program and the Nazi space programs, and all these people, all these humans living outside of the Earth at the same time as us, sitting in this kind of almost Victorian age technology, and we're going to have to come face to face with it, because they might be coming back soon, a la Iron Sky, the movie. So, Karen, how's your future shock going?
Well, you know, I was going to comment on what Chris said about all the people, too, who are still asleep, and what you're talking about. And one of our friends pointed out to us one time that when you are asleep and you're fast asleep, if somebody wakes you up suddenly, you know, your first reaction is usually anger. And that's, I think, the depth of the sleeping that's been done. And I am still incredulous. It's why, Chris, for years I've been promoting a strike, a total strike. Stop. You know, stop on the same day for so many reasons. And not only because we are the ones who are the wheel, who are running over us. It's not really us against them. It's we. We are doing this to ourselves. Those of us wearing uniforms, those of us experimenting with the horrible techniques that are used to torture people. Those of us who are working for Monsanto or Raytheon, those of us war profiteering, you know, we are so heavily involved in our own vested self-interest, as my husband says, it is difficult to see beyond it. And it is an uncomfortable ride. The last thing that we ever wanted to believe was that our government would actually be lying to us. But that's only the tip of the iceberg. You know, that our government is involved in soft killing us, that they don't make any money if we're well, that they are just using us as a huge experiment, that we're under this legal economic conquest where we believe that we've got to be law-abiding, obedient citizens. You know, where would we be as a species if when we were young, we were taught morality, we were taught equality, we were taught freedom and peace and respect, and to know that as long as you are doing no harm, you are living within the freedom of all the rest that that entails, instead of being taught that obedience is next to godliness, and God tells you that you can only live once, you know, when they take out all the references to reincarnation. My guest last night, or Friday night, was Paola Ambrosi, who, when we were talking about death and reincarnation, said that she views death as the breath, you know, between the intake and the exhalation of the universe. You know, you just stop there for a moment in between where you move right on to whatever other existence is there. And through honestly believing, when I started pounding the pavement of saying, look, why don't we just all stop working, when you know what's going on, when you know they're poisoning the air and the sky and the seas, and they're dropping horrible chemicals into not only our oceans while they're bombing, but onto our trees to make the fires burn more, when you know that earthquakes are helped along, when you know that the military-industrial complex is just running roughshod over all of us. You know, it's only doing that because we're allowing it to. But then again, over $200 billion a year on public perception management. And and all the schools, you know, you're taught to obey from the time that you're born until you die. You're not taught to think, especially with Leave No Child Behind, or leaving all the children behind and believing in centralized government and authority. I mean, I just keep hoping that people will start to really wake up. They'll start to follow the money, because this ritual we have of voting here in the States, which is just such nonsense, you know. It takes away our energy, it distracts us, it keeps us from taking action in the now, and it also keeps us in this paradigm of condoning government. And that is our biggest problem. I think I've had Larkin Rose on as a guest, and I just finished reading his book called The Most Superstition, which is Authority Government. Yeah, and so we still are too wrapped up in giving away our power. And I think the biggest thing I've learned is we can't save everybody. We can only try and save ourselves and those people who will listen, and the rest. If we are spirit anyway, which I fully believe, having a human experience, we've got eternity to figure it out, and we were there ourselves. You know, we were just in a different place now.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, talking about like reincarnation and you know, my ideas on reincarnation are changing rapidly as I'm discovering the process called quantum jumping. I don't know if either of you are aware of that. Do you remember Quantum Leap with Scott Bakula?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's real. But you don't need a machine. You can do it. Essentially, what you do is you create a space in your mind. You know, a lot of people have got like a meditation space. You know, go to your happy garden or somewhere like that. But basically, you create a kind of room. And you have a door in the room, and you can basically request the presence of a different parallel version of yourself. And as there are infinite possibilities, there are an infinite number of you, and there are infinite possibilities of you being for instance, a scuba diver or a rock climber or a brain surgeon or, you know, whatever you could imagine and more is available to you as another yourself. And you're able to call this person up and speak to them or communicate in some way to transfer knowledge or wisdom or understanding. And it's quite a fascinating process. I actually did it the other night. I had no one, I couldn't think of anything to talk about. And I just went into my quantum room and said, right, okay, I need to connect with the Jeremy who's had a successful program. He's got the best program possible. And it was brilliant. It actually worked out very well. And in fact, there's a message. This is a message for Ra in the chat room. When was it? Oh, the show that I did with Journeys with Rebecca on Tuesday. Because I stood in for her on Tuesday. Try again. Wind it back. It was Thursday night. I stood in for Rebecca on Journeys with Rebecca, and it'll be in that archive. But you were asking about sixes and sevens and Ray 6 and Ray 7, and the call-ins, the guest on there, had a very interesting combination, which allowed me to expound upon the 6 and 7 six and seven dissonance, which is, you know, we're moving from Ray 6 to Ray 7. And it's like going from one note that is very close to another note, except the qualities are completely different. And it's like almost like the resolution at the end of a symphony or something like that, when all the notes come together and everybody plays the same note and we're all back on the same note. Yeah, that's right. Very possible, Ra, yeah. Using the quantum method, you can contact the person that you just need to be for that next moment. You know, say you've got something that you're a bit scared of, you can connect with the person who's already done it. You know, because in parallel universes, the time runs at a slightly different rate. So find somebody who was in your past that is, you know, you can bring into your present. Go ahead.
That's very interesting. And also earlier, so when we're talking about maybe being in the right space, and some of us believe that we're moving into the fourth or the fifth dimension, how do you know? I wanted to bring that out.
Yeah.
And yeah, get a little more into that, because I think it ties in here. And as much as I have had experiences, I definitely believe are psychic, and if I channel it all, I think it comes through in lyrics, and sometimes when I'm speaking, I have no idea how I said what I just said, and other times I'm in the blozo zone, or in the bow zone. But how do you know, and is this maybe a step two, where it would make sense to me that in this galactic alignment, that the vibrations definitely would have to be different, that the gravity, that the mass, that all of it would have to shift and change. So how do we know that we can get to that fourth, fifth, or the right place to be in?
All right. So let's have a talk about what, you know, because, again, you know, you probably already know what it is. It's just that the words we use to describe it are misleading, or maybe misleading. Perhaps they don't register with the same senses as, you know, that you've been working with. So how does, you know, let's have a look. All right, so third dimensional is in the physical plane, okay? And so it's all about physical needs, you know, survival and you know, getting food and all of that stuff. The fourth dimension is what I would call in the esoteric parlance, which is the astral plane. In the astral plane is the world of duality, and that's the kind of nightmare world because, you know, there are extremes on both sides of extreme bliss and extreme terror. And it's the world of fear and duality. And it's been very thick, really, but we're moving through it. But what's happening now is it's being purged. And so it's now being purged onto the physical plane. It's coming into view, it's coming into light. And so we're seeing the dismantling of the Catholic Church, for instance, through all the abuse and the domination and the we're finding out all the real deep, dark evil that the Vatican produces. And now it turns out that there's an evil yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but they're saying that there's a huge monster, artificial intelligent monster, that lives underneath the Vatican, and the only way to get rid of this thing is by nuking Rome's Seven Hills. I don't know if anybody else has heard about that. But, you know, there does seem to be some sort of epicenter there of something very long-lived and hungry and psychic. And somehow it's saturated the world with this fourth dimension. Now, we experience fourth dimension as emotions. And I know a lot of you, and this is what you brought up earlier on, Chris, is this intensification of emotional reaction that is going on by just about anybody over their favorite pet ideal, be it, Islam, be it fundamentalism, be it fundamentalist Christian, be it fundamentalist Freemason, I don't know. Anyway, but there's what I'm observing is an extreme polarization of events and people, that we're being set against each other using these fourth dimensional techniques. They're using the biggest black magic techniques, and you know the whole Olympic things and all the Queen's Jubilees and all these little ceremonies that have been going on this year are all trying to whip this emotion up. Just think about the Olympics. What it's really doing is really pitting nations against each other. And people get so fired up about their country and beating the other country and all of this stuff, nationalism, who makes the best sausages, etc., etc., that it's part of the way that they're trying to stop us go through the astral plane. This is all distraction. It's all like a big sideshow to stop you going to the main event. You know, all the guys on the sideshows, they're trying to earn their crust, and they earn their crust by drawing your attention. You know, so this is a bit like, I don't know if anybody's ever read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, but the guide is the taking the soul through samsara, which again is the same thing. It's the fourth dimension, because we're trying to get you to nirvana, which is the fifth dimension, you know. We have all different names for it, but it's the same thing, you know. One, you could say that that nirvana is the mental plane, when actually everything is more crystallized and in a state that is more pleasing to the mind. It's more conducive to the mind. It's not so emotionally driven. So that's what's going on. That's what the meanings of the fourth and fifth dimensions are. When you're in the plane of the mind, anything that you consider in your mind can become reality just by your intent. And
that's the fifth dimension then?
That's the fifth dimension. Cool.
Okay,
so, but we have to get through the fourth dimension, which is the emotional plane, by remaining calm. Because if we get attached to any of these things, astral entities, or thought forms, or nationalisms, or any ism, in fact, you know, because you're becoming emotionally attached to something in that place, you're going to get pulled off.
Yes. And that's why it's important in this year, 2012, which contains the number 5 that Gary the Numbers guy went on about, that we make sure we keep ourselves grounded the very best that we can. We are all being energetically ramped up and pushed forward. July, August, September, lots of intensification of energies. There has been a dissipation. There has been a release as well, but this thing really seems to be coming in waves. So for us, physically, our 3D selves, it's very important that we eat right the best we can, we drink good water, that we give ourselves the appropriate amount of exercise, we take off those shoes and socks, we connect with the earth, you know, and that we maintain the best we can that state of balance, whatever way we can. You know, I talked about kind of yoga, Kundalini yoga as well, Jeremy, you know, a couple of weeks ago, that we allow ourselves to go into a space of feeling more connected within ourselves, with everything around us, and those close to us, but the earth as well. I feel with all of these things, these activities, this will do us a lot more good than harm, and it really will help smooth our transition throughout this year and going into the next. Because yes, we are being pushed, we are being transformed with a lot of this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe with all of this, Jeremy and Karen, we don't have a choice. It's like with those who are, unfortunately, you know, sadly, they're currently asleep. You know, I feel that there could well possibly be a big OMFG event, which is going to kind of make them wake up pretty quick, and it's not going to be nice. But it's like when we have these initiations, not all the time they're going to be pretty. It's like you were literally grabbed by the scruff of your neck or by your foot, and it's like, right, you know, ready or not, you know, you're coming with me. It's time. If you haven't been preparing, if you haven't done the class, if you haven't done the classwork, the room work, if you haven't gotten to the last multiple choice question, it doesn't matter. Time's up. I'm taking the paper, and you're coming with me now. And that's what I feel happens for a lot of people. And that's what I feel that there is a strong possibility of that could happen. But if people can engage with themselves, do some activities and get a little bit more grounded, just those little things, they're very powerful, and they serve us greatly. Just even becoming aware of that, just really taking that into cognition, I feel, even from listening to what we're saying, will really, really help people.
Yeah. So, Karen, in conclusion.
Well, I agree with just about everything there, although we may have made the choice to be here now as well. So while we're going along for the ride on a deeper level, there are people who think that we came here specifically for this particular ride, and it's a hell of a ride, you know, and it's getting more and more interesting all the time as we move further into it. I know for myself, I have finally, after sitting here for years in front of my computer for days on end and working with the marathons and all that, and I want to say, too, thanks for all the great work at Wolf Spirit and from Dave with helping with the marathons. But it's nice now to get outside. We live in an absolutely beautiful area, and I am getting outside, and I'm hiking 5 to 6 times a week, anywhere from 3 up to maybe 8 miles. And I had a guest, my guest as well, Paula. She walks for peace. She was walking in Ireland. She's walking in Mexico. And now the next walk that they're going to have is next Saturday, where they walk slowly and with intent. And they have names that are given for prayers. They've had actual healings take place because of this. Their walks don't have to be with a whole lot of people, but really with the effort of, with every step, you're releasing from your body the tension, the weight, the darkness, so that you begin to walk in peace and for peace, and to let it resonate. You know, you become that blessing each step that unifies from as above, so below. And I think that's a beautiful idea, and we're talking too about taking it to possibly the 15th, so that for people, if they want something to do when they're boycotting, striking, to go into the woods, to go into some sacred space where they can still touch and see and experience the earth as it can be, you know, to get out of the city for a little bit. It doesn't have to be a huge statement or a lot of people. Even walking by yourself, taking some time and focusing on the peace, focusing on release, being open to the guidance. I'm always surrounding myself with a white Christ consciousness of love and protection, and just aspiring to do better. And it doesn't mean that I ought to do better, because I don't. But instead of carrying the guilt, you know, we have to make amends as best as possible and try. And, you know, JP, you also spoke one time about maybe we would all go to sleep and have a dream of what our future would be, and we'd wake up in the morning and we'd each know, you know, where to go and how to be and exactly what we have to do. Maybe that actually is happening for those of us who are listening, who are, as you and Chris both say, doing our homework, which is all internal. It's the spiritual warrior, the battle within, to really be the best we can in every moment that we can, and to become conscious of more and more moments so that we reflect a more peaceful existence within ourselves.
Right. Oh, wow. Are you both still there? Yes, you've got some background noise. Chris, do you have a final closing speech?
Yeah, very briefly. Sorry, I'm just getting some feedback there. I just have to get used to that. No, that's fine. It's gone now. Karen really said some lovely stuff there, and I don't have much further to say other than, I mean, something I was going to say, you know, at the start of the show, Jeremy, just being as kind of level-headed and as well-balanced as I can be, you know, to you and to Karen and to the listeners, you know, I myself, I'm not a researcher, I'm not a professional researcher, lecturer, speaker in any particular field. I have not, you know, come on to, you know, any other shows, you know, kind of like Revolution Radio and Red Ice and all of these other very well-known shows like Project Camelot and whatnot, and kind of and given my time, you know, I am me. I'm kind of here voluntarily, kind of, you know, discussing, you know, out of kind of interest and kind of, you know, love and consideration, these matters as well. So I don't, for the listeners especially, I don't profess to be kind of anyone or anything else except myself and kind of the general knowledge that I kind of have built up and that I'm continuing to build, these tools, all of this information that we're accumulating right now. We are all one, we are all like each other. Yes, I mean, I do research. I would see myself in a way as being a researcher, but as you can kind of get the feeling, you know, right here and right now, I'm very humble when it comes to regarding kind of stuff like this and going kind of, you know, on shows. I don't see, you know, myself as being kind of like anyone else, like kind of like Santos or any of these other people who are doing incredible work, except just myself and what I have to give. Just in case some people are wondering, who's this person, who's that person, what else have they kind of have been on? There is nothing else. This is just me delivering and having a chat right here and right now about what's going on, just to give people a better understanding regarding that.
That's great. And so, brothers and sisters and siblings of undetermined gender that we haven't come across yet, we are coming to the end of today's psychic event, which we know as Ever Beyond. It happens every Sunday at this time, 11 p.m. GMT. And so, with this, I'd like to thank Christopher Noonan and Karen Quinn Tostada for appearing here
spontaneously, talking about the sky, what's going on, throwing a few ideas around. I mean, I just hear about this stuff, and sometimes I come up with some of my own stuff, and I just like to throw it around and see what people think about it. I'm not saying I'm completely original. I'm just spouting what I hear. So it's been lovely to have you on the show. Thank you very much for coming with us. Oh, yes, UnitedWeWin.me. UnitedWeWin.me, that's Karen's website, which will give you details of what the whole event is about, the regular event on the 15th of the month, and why we should do it. So, with that, where's my little jingle? Where's my final bumper? There it is. I'd like to thank you very much. And I'll see you next week. Now, who have I got? Oh, very soon, on the 6th of October, I have a very special guest. Her name is Amy Steinberg. I'll be playing her track soon after the end of the show. It's called Exactly. She's a marvelous artist, very, very conscious. So I'm really stoked to have her on. People in the future, I'm going to be having Katie Galanti. And indeed, Katie Galanti will be starting her own show. It'll be just after my show on Sunday afternoon or evening. She's got a whole bunch of guests lined up as well. Future guests for me also include Robert Morningsky and the esteemed Alex Collier, and maybe even Cliff High, if he can spend some time away from building his boats. And so, I'll see you on Tuesday, Journeys with JP, same place, 8 p.m. UK time, 12 p.m. PST. Good night, and God bless you all.